Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The ladies' Bible study of our church are planning in June to go see one of our members, Nick Johnson, in a UT production of Mamma Mia. ABBA, if you know the ABBA music. Imagine, however, that Lisa Gift, on behalf of the ladies' Bible study, calls the ticket office and asks for 11 tickets from the ticket person. And the ticket person replies, "I'm sorry, we only have individual seats to sell scattered throughout the theater. You can't sit together." Lisa asks, "Can we sit two by two?" A little biblical. "Nope," says the ticket master. And then they rudely hang up. Imagine now that your family decides to go out for dinner to celebrate a family member's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. You all come to the restaurant and arrive at Chef Boyamihungry's new premier restaurant, The Fancy Plate. But the host, when seating you, says, "You sit here, you sit over here, you go sit over there, and you sit back there." And you're like, "Well, wait a minute, can't we sit together? We made a reservation." And they say, "Nope, I'm sorry." And they say, but we're a family, we're a group. We had a reservation." They say, "We do not care, sit down or go away." So you go home. And you realize it's April 14th. And guess what? You remembered, you haven't yet filed your taxes. You got one day left. Out comes your W-2s, your 1090s, your 1040, your Schedule SE. You stay up all night crunching numbers. Aha, you finish. You jump into the car. You go to the Maryville post office. Off goes the paperwork until 1 month later, you get a letter from the IRS. Rejected. Why? And I quote, "The U.S. government no longer allows the status married and filing jointly." What? Where? Oh, 1040, Schedule ZZTOP, OICU812. Didn't you read that? No, I didn't read that. Oh, and by the way, your stock portfolio, you know, it used to be one portfolio. Well, now it's individually prioritized. So you have a different account for each one of your stocks, and you're going to need a password for each one of those stocks. Oh, what? And adding insult to injury, your dog has requested, insisting upon a bull in each room of the house. You're like, "Now wait a minute." Imagine a world where everyone is on their own. We used to call that a dog-eat-dog world. In truth, we don't live in a world like that. God made us male and female. God joined two as one. What God has joined together, let no one separate. The first family. Then came the first tribe. First kingdom. First nation. A singular of plurals. Now we organize for the sake of good order. One mayor. One governor. One president. 50 states. One democratic republic. Or 10 provinces, one Canada. You're welcome, Marlene. And in the Bible, one Lord, one Father, one Creator, one faith, one baptism for the remission of sins, one cross, one Savior, one Redeemer, one Christ, therefore, one church in Jesus' name. That they may be one, even as we are one, Jesus said today in the gospel. The problem of the one and the many resolved with Jesus' words. That they may be one, even as we are one. We are many. We are different. We all come from different parts of the planet. Yet we are one. Our treasured oneness is not cultural. We're all not in the same culture. We don't eat all the same culinary foods, have the same traditions, the same language. Our oneness is not conditional on the way we organize. Under a pope, not under a pope. Under the name of this church body, under the name of that church body. Oh, there are important differences. Yes, doctrines, practices, history, spiritual leaders, location. But our treasured oneness comes from belief in the one God has sent, and what that one did for you, which is die and rise. In that, we are one, perfectly one, so that the world may know God's love. For we know that God loved Jesus, for he raised him from the dead. And Jesus loves us, for he gave his life for us, for his brothers. He said, no greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. I have loved you, he said. Now go and love one another. Therefore, though, because Jesus loves us, and the Father loves Jesus, therefore God loves us. God, it says in today's gospel, loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's a prehistoric love. Therefore, God's great, great prehistoric, prehistory love extends down to us before the foundation of the world. Lest we forget, in Christ, that is a true comfort. It's not conditional, his love, on what you have done, what you have said. In fact, we often do the things in which are not very lovely for God to love at all. And yet God's love extends in Jesus through him to you from before the foundation of the world. Indeed, the devil would like us to think that we are fractured, divided, and he does divide us sinfully, painfully. That we can't be perfectly one in any sense of the word is how he'd like you to think. And indeed, in my own hypocrisy at times, it lures me into despair about the churches and all the many different churches and the lack of unity when it comes to confessing the truth of the whole counsel of God, as every church ought to do. It's at those times, however, it helps to remember the unity is in Christ, not in the strivings of the saved. It's a heaven-sent unity that originates in God's teaching about his love for Jesus and his love for us, not our broken and divided understanding. Indeed, there is, St. Paul tells us, divisions, schisms, to show which one of us is genuine. We need that. We're going to have it. God knows. We will have debates, splits, separation, as they did in the Bible, Paul and Barnabas, etc., etc. But our unity is always in Christ. We confess our unity in Christ, his love for us and the Father's love for Christ, and that love, united, undivided, is put into our ears with the word and splashed onto your forehead, on your body, at your baptism, and graciously put into your mouths at the meal that he gives us. That unity of himself, where he unites himself to the bread and the wine, and then unites himself to you, Christians, Christ in you, Christian, by giving you a meal to remember that you're united to him, and a bath to remind you've been bathed in the same waters he's been baptized in, and you hear the same word throughout the earth, the one Bible, not two different gospels, but the one gospel message that is proclaimed here. That's why it's nice that other churches use the lectionary and have the same gospel reading throughout the church. Good thing. We all hear the word. We're united in that word and in the gift of baptism and here at the Lord's Supper, a mystical, special unity that's beyond us. Not a union based on when or where you worship, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but a union that is ours because Christ comes to us perfectly in word and sacrament. To richly and completely forgive us our sins and to share with us his resurrected glory. There were not three resurrections, two resurrections, only one resurrection. That's why we confess in the creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. That extends to all believers, doesn't it? The one resurrection. So there is one church and there is one God and one Christ. Today, we remember that Christ prayed for our oneness. And that prayer is effective and powerful. It's working, and it's answered right now. If it's merely up to us, we're in trouble. We're not perfectly one in politics, in mission work, in prayer habits, and even Christian marriages have fallen apart, divided, contra God's will. But the gospel clearly reveals our oneness comes by faith in the Father's love, grace, and the faith in the gospel that Jesus is the one he sent graciously to you in word and sacrament. It's not a different kind of oneness. It's that oneness that he revealed by his prayer. It's that oneness that makes all the difference for eternity. One last thing to tell you. God forgives you for all the times that you've forgotten what his oneness means and the unity that comes from him and not from you and not from the church that you see. His unity comes from his word and his gifts and from nothing else. And may you get back up and you live in that freedom to love God because you've been united to him, and freely because he put you in community, whether a husband or a wife or a family or neighbors or Maryville or Tennessee. Wherever there are neighbors, there's an opportunity to love. And you've been freed to love freely. You're united in creation. You're both humans. You put on pants one leg at a time. Love your neighbor as yourself. You've been united to God. We are perfectly one in Christ Jesus. Invite others into that unity that you have, because that unity is eternal life. Unity is God's gift before the foundation of the world. His uniting love endures forever. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.